Blog Talk Radio. Good afternoon, everybody. Good afternoon and welcome to another outstanding weekly edition of the End Times News Report. And boy, do we have a show for you. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on in the world. And Sister Marie has all of it in store for us today. It's going to be a great, great show. As a side note, I just want to give you a little report between me versus the rat, or me versus the squirrel, or me versus the raccoon. I don't know what it is because I haven't seen it. Well, it has cleaned up another trap. I had another trap with peanut butter and jelly on it, tight, wrapped very, very tight with masking tape. And the guy at the hardware store said to me, when you wrap these things up with masking tape and they pull on the masking tape to get to the peanut butter and jelly, the hammer comes down and they're dead. Well, I went in there this morning and the second trap was clean. I can see the metal on the trap where the peanut butter and jelly was on and the masking tape. I mean, this guy, this rat, this whatever he is a Houdini, because the second trap is cleaned like when my wife makes lasagna and she tells me to stop scraping the plate because there's more in the oven, and she says, boy, you cleaned that plate. Well, that's what this rat has done. So everyone's laughing at me. So it's rat 4, wolf tracker 0. And, of course, I have one trap left, so I don't know what I'm going to do. And this guy's running circles around me. So I don't know. I'm going to see. I'm going to invent something. I'm going to try to create something. I'm going to try to booby trap him some way, somehow. I'm going to ask the Lord to give me a witty invention. And let me see if I can catch this critter, because he is just making a mockery of me. So, without any further ado, let me bring on Sister Marie. And it's embarrassing, you know? It's embarrassing. They're going to take the title of Wolf Tracker away from me. Because it's a crying shame. Sister Marie, how are you today?
I'm fine. Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. Everybody follows me in the morning to see what we caught. And go get them, Dad. When I go get them, there's nothing there.
So much for dominating over the animals.
Right? That's right. Absolutely. I'm not dominating.
Did you see that one I sent you? Did you see that one I sent you with the mouse? That was hilarious. I laughed so hard.
Well, all those videos are funny. But, that's it.
The one with Rocky at the end of it.
Listen, this guy, remember, I mean, I have the best traps. I spared no expense. And
right.
The other day I saw the guy from the from the hardware store. I saw him in the post office, and I didn't go in because I didn't want to tell him I failed. So I just stood in the car until he got into his car. I mean, I'm so embarrassed.
Oh, you may not want to see what this is. I mean, if it keeps getting away, it could be something really, you know, nasty. I think
it's
a raccoon.
I don't know what it is. All I know is he's getting over. He's getting over big time.
Crafty.
Sure.
Wolf tracker.
Absolutely.
Sorry.
Absolutely.
Sorry.
Absolutely.
So there's
a lot of stuff. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on over there with the queen. And it's hard to keep track of where she is because they keep moving her every 5 minutes.
She's made some trips. That's for
she's
sure.
Wow, it's amazing. It's amazing. She's all over the place.
Yeah, you know, my husband and I were talking about that. He's off this week, and we were talking about it, and he said he was telling me that he was just a kid when Churchill died, you know?
Right.
Winston
right.
Churchill. And mm-hmm. he said he was at his grandmother's watching the funeral, and the grandmother didn't want to watch it. She was, you know, she was kind of a, I don't know, nasty kind of person, I guess. I don't know.
Mm-hmm,
she was always
mm-hmm.
angry. And right, he said, yeah. and he was watching, and he said he was sitting on the floor watching it on TV, and she kept popping her head around, and she said, well, he's gone by train, you know, by plane or by
right,
boat,
right.
by whatever. And she said, they'll just throw me over the wall when I die. he said, I remember it like it was yesterday. You know,
wow. Wow.
And he said, you know, it went on like that. So, yeah, it's, she planned this, so this is what
mm-hmm.
she wanted, and she's getting
right.
it.
Right. Sure.
So, you know.
Sure.
The royal send-out.
Yeah, but it's asinine because they have people there in crutches. They have people there with walkers. They have people there with canes.
Mm-hmm.
All online. It's a 3-mile line. 3 miles.
Yeah.
Right? What, to get a second?
Yeah.
I mean, watch it on TV. Save yourself the trouble. Just watch it on TV.
Right.
That's all.
Well, we were saying people want to be able to say that they were there. You know,
well, I
it's
am there. I'm there in spirit. That's it.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
I
yeah,
mean,
I wouldn't
on.
Wait in line that long. No.
I mean, think about it. You got a 3-mile line. You know how long 3 miles is?
Yes, I do.
And,
it's a long
there
way.
People, yeah. This is crazy.
It is. Well, they idolize people, you know. That's the thing.
Yeah.
They idolize these people, and they really shouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I were yeah. in London and it was 2 blocks long, maybe, I might go. You know, if it was only 2 blocks the line, I might go in there, but no.
Sure. When I grew up in New York City, the way I was told in elementary school was that a mile in New York City is 20
mm-hmm.
city blocks.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
That's the way we were taught. If you go 20 blocks from your house, you have walked a
mm-hmm.
mile.
Wow.
Yeah. So can you imagine being online for 60 blocks long?
Ooh.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
It is crazy. It is crazy.
And the other thing is, you know, CNN, Charles III, what a monarch. Wait a minute. The guy was a dirtbag. I mean, what are you talking about? How did he go from being a ninny now to being, you know, King Arthur with the Knights of the Round Table? I mean,
exactly.
And what
my
will
husband
his,
said,
what
congratulations,
his, yeah,
Charles.
What will his reign be?
First job.
Exactly.
73 years old, and it's your first job. That's what my husband
his first,
said.
Sure, his first job. Think about that. His first
yes.
job.
Yeah.
This is insane.
It
and
is.
Then people are saying, well, William's going to be waiting a long time because Charles's father was 100 and his mother was 96 or something. So they got
mm-hmm.
longevity genes in their family. So,
yeah.
you know, who knows? Who knows? But my goodness.
You know, my husband's friend called him and he said, you know, he said, Betty White, 99. Queen Elizabeth, 96. USA wins again. That's terrible.
That's funny. That's funny.
Oh, I know. Oh, I thought, I said, that's sick, but I started laughing. Oh, I said, yeah,
wow.
That's true. So.
Yep.
Yeah, it's crazy the way they idolize people, you know, and it's more for her because if you noticed, after the procession, they had the procession going down the street, and then when they left her, Charles left in a car, and they were all gone. You know, there was very few people for Charles.
Wow.
And I can tell you, I have not met anyone that likes Charles. I can't remember hearing one thing positive about Charles in England.
Right.
So
no, that's what I mean.
Yes.
That's what I mean. I mean,
her, that's different. That's how they felt. You know, a lot of people, that's all they knew. That's the only monarch, you know, they've sat under, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. I
don't know.
Before, it's like, wait a minute. The guy was a total loser, and the only reason why people had anything to do with him was because he was the queen's son.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And
yep.
And everybody was saying, why don't you just bypass Charles and give it to the kid? Give it to his son.
Yeah.
Don't even put him there. And now, all of a sudden, Charles III is doing a magnificent job of what? He just started. Everything is scripted. This is...
Yeah. The news is scripted, I can tell you that, because that's not what is really happening. You know, what we're hearing about him and things like that. It's not, you know... It's not what it is. In all honesty, it's totally different what's going on over there. And, you know, the people, like I said, they, with Charles, they aren't fond of Charles. And somebody made a statement. They said, you know, with Queen Elizabeth, we bowed down. They said, Charles is going to make us lay down. That's a...
Wow.
That was a profound statement that somebody said. I said, wow.
Hmm.
And it has to do with his agenda, you know, which he says he can't be involved in that too much now. He's too busy. Yeah, right. There's no way he's not involved in that, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm hearing feedback. Yeah. Is that on my end? It's me. Feedback. Have you got YouTube open right now?
No, I hear you perfectly.
Okay.
I hear you.
I can hear myself.
You
it might be on my end.
You want to call back in?
No, we'll be all right. I'll just talk over myself in the background. So this week we're going to continue our series on symbolism and paganism. Symbolism, and I'm going to repeat what I said last week because it says it all. Symbolism is the idea that things represent other things. And we talked about in literature, symbolism is used to convey a message without saying it outright. In secret societies, they use symbolism to announce their presence and to convey cryptic messages. So we're going to focus on that. And we're surrounded by symbolism, but most people don't even notice it. You know, it's all around us.
Right.
Last week, we discussed the lotus flower and its meaning in different forms of paganism, you know, in different pagan beliefs. Now, as Christians, we're not concerned about their symbols. However, having said that, understanding certain symbols, paganism helps expose what someone could believe.
Right.
And, of course, their cryptic messages, it's good to know that and what they're conveying. So I looked at Ephesians 5:11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Now, I looked up reprove in the Strong's, and it's to expose, it is to rebuke, discipline, show to be guilty, admonish. So we're to expose these people. And so our intent today is to expose a few things and just to reason together about other things. And we know that the works of darkness are always unfruitful, you know?
Yep.
So unfruitful will receive condemnation. And that you can find in John 15:2. So any questions about what I said or...
No, I mean, I'm just interested in the, like you said, you started to break down the different symbols and what they
mm-hmm.
mean and how these symbols are everywhere in plain sight. And a lot of people
yes.
don't know what they mean and what groups they represent. And the groups are telling
right.
one another, here we are, we're present, here's our symbol.
Yes,
here's our,
exactly.
You know, this lets you know that we're present. And I just find it interesting that, you know, these symbols pop up everywhere. And if you think people
mm-hmm.
are not involved or shady people are not involved, just consider the symbols, right?
That's right. That's right. That's right. And, you know, I can look around. I can walk in a room and tell you, you know, what group we're dealing with. I can do that.
Right.
And I started to really notice things, you know, around me. And I thought, well, you know, why is this owl up in this building now? And, you know, things like that. And I really notice it everywhere I go. So that's just me. And, you know, I know we went into a venue once and my husband, a friend of my husband's, was singing in there. And he invited us, and we'd never been there. He had never been to this venue. And we went in, and there were a lot of really good singers, you
mm-hmm.
know, posted on the wall that
right.
had sang there before. But the first thing I noticed was the floor. And I said, this is Masonic owned.
Hmm.
And I knew it by the floor. And my husband
right.
said, how do you know that? I said, well, look at the floor. That's all Masonic. That black and white tile on the floor, that's Masonic. And you'll see it everywhere. And you'll see it all through the palace, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
You'll see it in the palaces over in England a lot, but you still see it.
Right.
Watch a movie on TV and always look for the black and white checkered floor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's black yep. tile, white tile, black tile, white tile. That's all you got to do. Just watch even modern movies, you'll see it.
Right.
So since we're dealing with the elites in this global agenda, we're going to use today to deal with the royal family. You know, because they're making headlines because of the Queen's
sure.
death. And
sure.
they're a major part of this agenda. We know that. And currently, right now, I'm trying to find the coat of arms. I have a picture of the coat of arms, and this is interesting. Someone from Glasgow, Scotland, sent me William's son's coat of arms and compared it to the different scriptures during the end times, you know.
Right.
Took it apart. It was amazing, bro. And I need to find that. It's
wow.
broken down all the different things in it, you know, were amazing. And I couldn't deny what was said in it. And I have a picture of it. If I can find it, I have it somewhere around here. I'll send it to you.
Okay.
So today we're looking at Audio 1, and that's Operation Unicorn. Now, what happens after the Queen's death in Scotland? We're going to hear from News 9 Australia, and this is 9 minutes long. And here's the funny part, bro. The unicorn in the Book of Symbols comes just before Uranus.
Oh, my goodness.
What a coincidence.
Yeah.
I thought, well, Uranus, unicorn in the Book of Symbols.
Amazing.
So I thought, how can be
sure. And,
so
and how funny
we're gonna hear. Yeah, I know it was funny. It just struck me funny. I don't know. Maybe I'm weird like that. Things like that make me laugh. But yeah, this is called Operation Unicorn, and that was in effect because Queen died in Scotland. That's a code. So. I'm not sure exactly. I know what the symbolism is on this. So we want to hear what News 9 Australia says about it and if they even explain what it means, because they do mention it.
Right, right.
And this is over the news. This is not just called, like people are calling it, Operation Unicorn. That was the name of what, that's what went into effect if she died in Scotland, in England. So if you want to play that, we'll go back.
Okay.
And
all
we'll
right.
talk
do we start
about
it. Right,
it.
Yeah, do we start it right at the beginning?
Yeah, go ahead. It goes to 9:51. So go ahead.
Okay.
Stop it as you like.
Is this Hugo or not?
No, this is News 9 Australia.
Okay, I'm sorry. All right.
That's okay. Because
I thought we were gonna have some comedy here with Hugo. Okay.
I mean, as you made the point that there is a plan in place here. I mean, as you made the point that there is a plan in place here, and it's a plan that the Queen has had a very close hand in. I believe it's called Operation Unicorn because she passed at Balmoral. There was another operation if she, you know, depending on where she had passed. And is it true that the Prime Minister was informed and was informed by being told London Bridge is down?
That was the logistical plan that was how it's to mention, and then I think the public got their clues in the fact that, you know, the national broadcaster here, the BBC, cancelled scheduled programming. There was no changing of the guards this afternoon at Buckingham Palace. Things went dark, went black on the screen of the BBC and the logos, and so that was all things that we had been preparing for and had known about, but then it still takes you by surprise when you see it. And without that confirmation, there will be, I believe, the Queen will lie in state in Holyrood House, which is the palace in Edinburgh, at the end of that golden mile that runs from Edinburgh Castle. So many Australians that have been to Edinburgh would have been there and walked those steps. The Queen, of course, has walked those steps. And that links the Queen, that mile of what is now, you know, tartan shops and whiskey bars, links the Queen to the generations, not just that she's seen, but of centuries and centuries ago, and shows the magnitude of the moment we're in. So that will be there. As you mentioned, Operation Unicorn, this was all released by the Scotsman in the last couple of years, says that she will then go by that train. We've known from now King Charles III and the Queen Consort, Camilla, that they will return to London to...
Okay, why is she the Queen Consort? Is because she's what does that mean, Queen Consort? I mean, is that like Queen Concubine? Is that what?
Yes, basically, yes. Well, you know, I'm not really sure because no one expected Camilla. They were promised. When Charles married Camilla, it was promised that she would never be queen in the
right.
public.
Mm-hmm.
So the Queen came up with the name Queen Consort for her. Consort.
I see.
Consort.
I see.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She came up with that for her, name, and she decided after they were married, you know, this is all about keeping Charles as king, you see, because
they said we
don't want him as king, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So she came up with that, and now she's being called that. The public
mm-hmm.
will not accept that.
Yeah.
Because Diana was their queen, according to
them.
Sure,
sure.
So,
right, right.
You know, but this is just, you know, yeah.
Sure.
I would say in reality, that's not what it means, of course, but in reality, what you said is probably true.
Yeah.
Concubine.
Yeah, because, and then, you know, all of these news people, they all run with these stupid titles, you know? And they
yep.
all, remember when you did some shows where you played clips from different agencies and
mm-hmm.
all the news reporters basically were saying the same sentences.
Yes.
And it's like they're all handed the script and they say, don't deviate from this.
Exactly.
So, you know, just,
exactly.
just and it seems like they were handed a script for this, because everywhere you turn, everybody says, Charles is so fantastic. Oh, my goodness. Look at him. Look at the way he's dealing with the people. His first act as king. Look, he was so regal. So what are you talking about? The guy has the he has the charisma of a fly. What are you and everything he's doing, he's being told to do.
Yep. I mean, you know, that's it. They all have this script, and then now we have opposing scripts, because you may have something totally on one side or the other. One news, you know, place may go totally against him, you know,
right,
in a lot of ways. But then you have the other ones are totally for him. Right now it seems to be pro-king, you know, for him at the time.
Right.
But you're absolutely right. That's how they play it. See, there are, what's funny is when she died, before they said, you know, the doctors are concerned. Do you know that those news channels over there all had black on before it was announced that she had died? I found that interesting.
Sure.
You know,
they all knew
something. Yeah.
Sure.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Yep. And they wore black ties, which is because of Victoria, that's, you know, almost mandatory over there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
If you're a royal or even at a normal funeral, I know for my mother-in-law's, I had to wear all black, you know.
Right.
Because it's a custom over there.
Sure.
It's something that they do. And
mm-hmm.
so, you know. But, yeah, I don't know. They've come up with some name for her because they said she'll never be our queen. They told him right away when he was going to marry Charles, when she was going to marry Charles, that she would never be queen. They would never consider her queen. And she started to introduce the idea of that a while back. And she said, my wishes are this. She started to realize that her time was short and, you know, and they're trying to get the public to accept her and Charles at the same time. So,
sure, sure.
You know, good luck with that.
Sure. Absolutely.
Good luck with
Absolutely. That. Sure. Wow. I saw them doing the, what was that? The watch of the princes when the four kids were standing by the casket and Charles fell asleep. And I don't know how you can fall asleep standing up, but like you said, this is the first job he's ever had. And even one of the guards yesterday fainted, hit the ground. So
I missed that one.
Is it the stench coming from the casket? Because how many, she's been out now 20 days with embalming fluid. I mean, is she starting to smell?
She died
she
died our last show. If you remember, we were doing the show and she had just announced her death. So
yeah.
I don't know. You know, that was another question I had. You know, and I said to my husband, well, wait a minute. She was at Balmoral and she died there. Okay. She hasn't left there. And we saw her leave, and then they took her to Edinburgh, I believe, or I think, you know, through the villages. I said, when did they embalm her?
Right.
You know?
Sure.
She hasn't gone anywhere. So do they do that in the castle? I mean, you know, and he said, I don't know. I said, it was just a question.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, you know...
Yes, it's
she
not like
it's going to rot.
Right, and the thing is this. I mean, everybody had the script. It's like she was murdered. Again, this is just me now. Me being a crazy costal. It's like she was murdered, and then, okay, this is what we're going to say. And because, like you said, everybody had the outfits. Everybody, you know, the flags were down. It's like, wait a minute. How did they know all this? Was this planned?
Yep.
Was this euthanasia? Did they just give her an injection and say, that's it, you're gone?
Yeah.
It's just
weird.
Well,
first they said that the family was there, and then they said Anne was there, the daughter.
Right.
I think it's Anne. Her daughter was there with her, and they said they're not sure if Charles made it. Well, Charles is in a castle on the same grounds. I mean, how could he not get there?
Sure.
You know, you're on the property. And
sure.
So they said, we'll probably never know that, and we probably won't. You know, we'll
mm-hmm.
never hear. But you think about it now. How many years did she reign? This was her 70th year. That's 70
right.
again.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing.
Sure.
It's always amazing.
Yeah, sure. Sure it is. Sure it is.
Yeah, that 70 keeps popping up everywhere,
yeah.
doesn't it?
Keeps popping up. Keeps popping up.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, here's the other thing. They want to go with this Green New Deal, and they were saying, Charles III supports, you know, our green energy agendas, and no kidding.
Yeah.
That was,
no
you know.
Kidding.
Please, you know,
we
so
knew that.
It's like,
we knew that.
Right, right. You made
yeah.
mention of that in previous shows, how, you know, all these people are just, you know, Charles is very, very, you know, tied into the whole world elite, to all those people, all those groups that show
yeah.
up.
He's,
you know, so,
very close. I mean, he's going to be really close in this agenda. He is really in there with Klaus, you know, speaking
sure.
on it everywhere, UN.
Absolutely,
you know,
absolutely,
Britain.
Absolutely.
And another thing with that is he, you know, like he says, he's trying to distance himself a little bit from it, but don't believe it for a minute, you know.
Sure.
And look at all the castles that they own, and they're talking about green energy. I mean, I can't tell you the amount of castles that they live in.
Sure.
You know.
Sure.
And operate, and people are worried about their electric bill, you know, and what do they give them, a day off? They get a day off paid for her funeral. That's it, you know. That's what they get. Everybody in England
yeah.
will get the day off. I mean, other than the emergency workers and things like that, but they'll all get a day off paid
yep.
for that,
yep.
for one day.
Mm-hmm.
And yet
sure.
they can hardly... That's what they're going to get. And they can hardly, people are having a hard time. I mean, the cost of energy is expensive there. Everything's expensive there. So people are trying to make it, and yet you look at all these castles, and you have to ask, if he's so big on this green energy and stuff, what's he going to do with all these castles?
Right.
Go solar
right.
with them? And what's that going to
yeah.
cost the British taxpayer?
Well, I heard the Queen made, this was her annual salary.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I'm getting all this from the radio as I'm driving from one
mm-hmm.
hospital visit to another. The Queen made
right.
€98 million a year. 98. It's not that she made €1 million. Her salary by herself
mm-hmm.
was €98 million a year, which the guy says, well, now Charles gets that.
Right. That's pounds, by the way, too.
Yeah. Well, you know, whatever.
That's
I mean, I heard them say euro.
Yeah.
But I'm,
yeah.
I also question, well, that can't be because they separated from, you know, through
yeah.
Brexit, they separated.
Yeah.
And so I know that they get paid in pounds, but I can't argue with the guy on the radio because I'm not on the phone
yeah,
with him
exactly.
and telling him, you know. But that's,
yeah.
but,
well,
but,
he might
know,
have been counting it in euros. I heard 100 million pounds myself. So,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
I mean,
that is
who,
that
I
is.
I mean, that's a lady who doesn't pay for anything.
That's right.
I mean, what does she do? I mean, everything is given to her. And I
mm-hmm.
do mean everything.
Yeah.
She's rich.
Yeah.
She was rich
beyond
early
that.
On. I mean, what I mean, this lady doesn't know what it is to skip a meal, right? I mean, even during World War II, she was taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fact. So, okay.
Yeah, they use photo ops for things like that, like World War II. You know, they show her fixing a truck. She did like to get out there and fix Jeeps and work on things like that, you know. And they show her walking through where places have been bombed, you know, and things like that. But give me a break. We know those are photo ops. We know that.
Right. I mean, that's like Biden yesterday. Biden is in a Corvette. You think anybody's going to let him drive a Corvette? He can't even walk. He's shaking hands with people that aren't even there. He's shaking hands with people that aren't even there. So, come on.
You can't make this up, can you?
No, you can't.
It's a wild world.
I'm telling you.
It's a wild world. I'm telling you.
Okay. Between the generations, not just that she's seen, but of centuries and centuries ago, and shows the magnitude of the moment we're in. So that will be there. As you mentioned, Operation Unicorn, this was all released by the Scotsman in the last couple of years, says that she will then go by that train. We've known from now King Charles III and the Queen Consort, Camilla, that they will return to London tomorrow. So it will be interesting to see who accompanies the Queen on that final journey. We know Prince William is there, Prince Harry is there, the rest of the royal family, those closest to her, the inner circle, are all there as well. So, and then the military procession that will follow that as well. You know, it's strangely an event that London has had to be planning for 70 years, but it's one that almost can't overstate the value that the Queen has had to this country, to the Commonwealth, and indeed, you know, her presence to the world.
You're at the BBC there this morning, the national broadcaster. It's coming up to 2 hours since her death was announced. It was at 3:32 a.m. I was watching the BBC this morning when they made that announcement. And just talk me through the reaction there at that moment when it was confirmed that Queen Elizabeth II had died.
Well, to be fair, Ali, I was at the Telegraph newsroom at the time, and I've just moved here now to do broadcasting for you guys on the BBC this evening. I mean, you're prepped for it, and obviously when you're in the Royal Press Pack, you get a little bit of warning. But the entire newsroom fell completely silent. We all obviously then tuned into the official announcement on the television. The national anthem played, and I've not really known anything like it. Because, like you guys, you're covering it professionally, but of course we're all personally invested in this story. People used to ask me, you know, who's your favourite royal? And it's always the Queen. I mean, the Queen was an absolute legend in my lifetime. And therefore, you're covering it as a story, but you're also covering it as a human being. And I think, you know, we knew the signs weren't looking good to have family members flying there. I mean, when the Prince of Wales took a helicopter from Dumfries House, which isn't far from Balmoral, of course, you're worried. And then you're also thinking that she's 96. And I just want to reflect as well. I mean, this is a woman who, despite her health problems, was still front and centre of the prime ministerial handover only on Tuesday. That is what we're talking about here, somebody so dedicated to duty that despite her own discomfort...
Incredible. She's so dedicated to duty. Listen, she's getting £98 million a year. She better do something.
Yes, exactly.
She's so dedicated to duty.
Yeah.
Sure. Wow.
Well, you can buy the media, too, with that, you know?
Oh, my goodness.
Oh,
and listen, you know, this is big money for, think about how many people have gone to London, England, just for this stuff. Think about the money that's being spent because people are just taking flights, booking flights to go there. You know, you got all kinds of people that like this stuff and they want to be part of it. And the hotels, you know, and It's,
ooh,
it's,
they're expensive.
Yeah, sure.
Especially in London. I mean, forget
sure.
it. You know, I'm going to tell you that it's amazing to me what you're saying, because there was talk at one time when Diana, remember when Diana died, why
mm-hmm.
do we need a monarchy, you know?
Right.
Because
right.
actually the prime minister makes all the rules over there. That's
sure.
who really rules. You know,
mm-hmm.
they, yeah, the queen has to sanctify. Yeah, well, they're one and the same, you know. But,
right.
you know, there was talk about that. But then the people started to think about how the monarchy brought in millions and millions of pounds every year.
Sure.
Just because, you know, of Buckingham
Absolutely.
Palace and the changing of the guards and, you know. And they started thinking that their country was probably better off with a monarchy. But the monarchy is costing them a lot of money.
Right.
Somebody said, well, you know, it only works out to, you know, she only gets paid to £1.50 per person. You know, somebody was trying to downplay that. Well,
right.
a pound, how many people are in England?
Sure, that's like when we, that's like when the pastor gets the tithe, add up all those
yeah.
tithes, and he's rich.
Yes, yes,
right?
exactly.
So
exactly.
add all those £1.50 from every
mm-hmm.
citizen there, and forget about it. You
yeah.
I mean, you're laughing all the way to the bank.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. And if they think she was so humble, she arranged this funeral. This is what she wanted. And there's no mention of what Operation Unicorn really means, is there, so far?
Nope.
They've not
nope.
explained why they called it Operation Unicorn, and that's exactly what it's called if she died in Scotland. She died in the 70th reign of the year, and she died at 3:32. They're saying this was the time it could have been their time. It could have been, I'm not sure if that would have been probably Australian time. They
right.
didn't dare say 3:33, because that's a dead giveaway of Masonic ties. That's a Masonic number. So they're extremely careful in some cases of what they say, and in other cases they aren't. So, you know, you got to know
yeah.
the little symbolism that they have. And my husband pointed one out. I was shocked last night. He said, why would it be that such and such a time? When the, you know, when they were having the, they were leaving, I'm not sure which one she was at that one. They were leaving to go to Westminster, I think. When they were leaving, my husband said, why does it start at 2:22? Right?
Hmm.
Exactly. Why not 2:25? Why not 2:26?
Right, right.
Why is it? Well, I looked it up, and I had a whole thing. I haven't written it down yet, but I bookmarked the page. There's symbolism behind that.
Hmm.
sure. New Age
sure.
symbolism. But she
Crazy.
Had an order. It had to be 2:22. You know? So,
mm-hmm.
But even my husband, you know, from hanging around me, start saying, well, why is it? And right at 2:22, they set off. It started exactly at that time. So, you know.
Yep, yep.
Amazing.
All right.
Amazing.
Let's see what unicorn
okay.
means if they tell us anything.
Yes.
Carries out that hugely significant constitutional role, despite the fact she's already working 2 decades beyond retirement age. And she wouldn't have wanted it any other way, may I add, you know, to be working until the end. And also, I take comfort, as I'm sure everybody who is absorbing this news slowly this morning, for you guys, take comfort in the fact that she was at Balmoral. She loved Balmoral. She loved her summers in Scotland. She spent her childhood there. She recovered and tried to get over her grief from the Duke of Edinburgh at Balmoral, and her family raced to be by her side. Just as somebody, you know, with family, we can all identify with that, the need to be close. the Queen as head of state, yeah, but ultimately to her family as granny.
And all around the world. Charles Croucher has been at Buckingham Palace this evening, London time. Mm-hmm. Charles, what is it like there?
Evening, Carl. It's so much sadness and so many people that have gathered, like the Queen has done so many times throughout her extraordinary time as the monarch. She brought people together this time to mourn her passing. There were people, of course, from Britain, but also plenty of Australians there. There was sadness, there were tears. Many brought flowers and laid them at the gates where that notification had been placed announcing her death. In fact, it was Buckingham Palace that really, and the people that were there, that got the first true indication that the Queen had passed. Just before that announcement, which was made at 6:30 exactly, local time here in London, just before 6:30, the Union Jack was lowered atop Buckingham Palace to half-mast. That was the sign for all those, the hundreds that had gathered at those gates, that the Queen had passed away, and then just moments later that notification was made. It had been a day of great worry for Britain and indeed for the entire Commonwealth. From the moment that Liz Truss was taken from the House of Commons, the new Prime Minister who met with the Queen just in the last 24 to 48 hours to be sworn in as Prime Minister, she was taken out and there were grim faces around the Commons. Then that notification, as you said, and all of the royals making their way up to Scotland where the Queen was being treated. Now it is great sadness, but there at Buckingham Palace, amongst all those people, every 10, 15 minutes or so, there were these huge cheers that would break out, just claps that would start and would continue for 30, 40 seconds, die off, and more people would come and they'd start again. It was so much the defiance and the stoicism that had summed up Queen Elizabeth. In fact, even to that photo that we all saw in the last day or so of Queen Elizabeth meeting Liz Truss, and as you mentioned throughout the morning, not looking in the best of health, but that defiant, radiant, stoic smile, that will be one of the lasting images and one of the last images of this Queen that has been around for so much of all of our lives. The people there at Buckingham Palace were talking about that, saying they just simply...
There's the Queen. She's smiling. She it looks like she played a round of tennis. And then an hour later, she's dead.
Yes, exactly. That, you know, they said that was like, they're saying that was 2 days before. Well, I want to know why her hand's all black in that one, you know, why it's all bruised in there. Was she receiving fluid? Was, you know, and it bruised
right.
her hand? Or it was
mm-hmm.
that circulation, a problem
sure.
with her circulation? Was that 2 days before? I mean, we don't know because it was at Balmoral.
Mm-hmm.
Balmoral, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that name. So
sure.
that's, you know, where she was at. And they said that the meeting had to take place there because she couldn't go to 10 Downing Street. She couldn't get down there, you know, for the Prime Minister
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and all that. It was 2 days before. We don't know. Could be.
Right.
Might not be. Might
sure.
have been. I think Hugo thinks it happened before then,
mm-hmm.
but that's Hugo. But you know, it's interesting.
Right.
I looked at the ball in there and the Balmoral, right? And that
right.
name, its origin in baby name, its origin is Tibetan.
Wow.
Believe it or not. Yeah. And it means wool hair. The English name is Balu. It's
mm-hmm.
also Bale. It's also Bale.
Hmm. Amazing.
You know. Yeah.
Yeah.
In Hebrew, it's Bala. It means to wear out or use until worthless.
Yeah.
Oh,
wow.
Maybe that's it. I don't know.
Yeah, that's
that
when
amazing?
They made her work. That's where they used her and made her worthless.
Yeah. I mean, it's amazing when you go through this stuff and the names and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? What you find out that they all really have a meaning behind them. There's some meaning behind names. And you think about that even in the Bible, bro. You know, the people, they had meanings. Their names, you know, they weren't named just a name pulled out of a hat for someone.
Mm-hmm.
They all had meaning behind their name.
Sure.
You know.
Sure.
So it's the same. It's the same with this. There's a reason,
mm-hmm.
but this is a different reason behind it. So,
right.
Anyway, I know this is a boring audio. I almost cut this audio because it's so boring. But I wanted to get the Operation Unicorn, and I wanted to find out why the Queen chose that.
Yeah.
Because that's
yeah,
her own. It's one of the castles she owns herself, her family.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So.
All right. Here, we still have 3 minutes on this, so.
Okay, I'll stick with it.
Simply hadn't known a time when the Queen hadn't been there. She'd been on the money, she'd been head of state, she'd been on the television, she'd given Christmas messages. All these huge moments of global significance through wars, through famines, through strikes, droughts, man on the moon, the invention of the internet, her starring role in the 2012 Olympic opening ceremony when she was there alongside Daniel Craig in that James Bond cameo, and then to the Golden Jubilee, to the Jubilee of 70 years just a few months ago, and even her starring role there with Paddington Bear. She has been so much part of their lives, so much part of all of those people that are still there at Buckingham Palace and all those people mourning at the palaces and indeed the parliaments and indeed the streets around the Commonwealth and around the world this morning. It really was, just despite the fact that this obviously has been a long time coming, it was a moment that shocked everyone. And having seen that picture, there was a deep sense of holding their breath and then that deep sense of sadness when the flag was lowered to half-mast and beyond that, that news came out that the Queen had passed away. It's something we're going to see a lot and hear a lot about, but those sentiments of just being defiant so often in her life, from her time as a soldier's wife to becoming the head of the army in the Commonwealth, defiance has defied her, and it's the way people are remembering her at Buckingham Palace this morning.
Charles, just talk us through too that moment when you said that the flag was lowered to half-mast. At that point, we didn't know for sure that the Queen had passed. It'd certainly been talk, and a lot of people had made their way to Buckingham Palace. What was the shift in the mood like in the crowd when that happened?
Look, the way to describe it was everyone was holding their breath. You know, the language in that statement we know was so so much stronger than anything we'd seen from the palace about the Queen's health, and so much more concerning. So the entire country was holding its breath, and I think that's what brought so many people to the heart of the Crown and Buckingham Palace. And then when that lowered, it was a murmur that went around, because of course there's no announcement, there's no fanfare, that the flag just lowered. But because people saw that and instantly everyone knew without any confirmation what had happened, and that confirmation came through on mobile phones, a device that was a pipe dream when the Queen took over. It was through those notifications that so many people found out the news that they were hoping wouldn't happen.
Wow, you are right. That was boring.
But, yeah, thank goodness it's over. I was going to say, cut, just forget the rest of it. But in all that, we never heard what Operation Unicorn, see, they all knew it. They all
mm-hmm.
knew what it was. They all knew the Queen had what she called Operation Unicorn in place. Now, why? Okay, so I did a little digging. In the Complete Dictionary of Symbols, which we both have, I'm only going to take a few notable things out of there.
Mm-hmm.
First, I wanted to know, I noted the medieval art, okay, the artwork that they had in the book. It was interesting.
Right, right.
It was a white horse. A white horse that was, this is the unicorn there, a goat beard in it, cloven hooves, and a lion's tail. That speaks a lot about the coat of arms I talked about, you know, how
right.
they put all these different symbols in them.
Mm-hmm.
In the symbol books, it states that the unicorn could only be captured by a virgin. Interesting.
Wow.
Clunny Museum in France said it may be an allegory for the five senses, right?
Right.
Okay, and without going into detail, the horn represents something about spiritual penetration, and I'm not going there. But all these pagan beliefs involve some sort of twisted sexuality to me. And, so, you know, I don't know what it is, but it seems like every one of them do. In alchemy, Western occult science, magic, and primitive science, it represents Mercury alongside the lion and sulfur. It also has dual meanings, such as the sun and moon. We're talking about the unicorn now.
Right.
Today,
right.
Now, let's put it to today. What does it represent today? Today, you always see the unicorn with what? A rainbow. It represents a transgender movement.
Mm-hmm.
So, my question is this. What's the queen's intent here? Was it to further on or push the pagan belief, you know, or advancement of the gay agenda? Or normalize paganism and mock God with that, right? You know,
mm-hmm.
I'm not sure why she called it Operation Unicorn, because it does go back to a lot of New Age beliefs, but in today it means something totally different. You know, is
mm-hmm.
this because they're all involved in that agenda? You know,
right.
You don't hear any of these leaders standing up for that agenda at this time. So what do you think? Because nothing these people do is without a purpose, where there's no logical explanation, you know, for it at other times other than the symbol. But I know the unicorn right now does represent the gay movement, and I have other audios on that. So,
right.
But what are you thinking? What do you think? Because they certainly didn't tell us anything in that audio.
No, they didn't say anything. And, again, you would want to know why are you using – like, for example, if I was to say Operation Ostrich,
mm-hmm.
right? Okay, when I think of an ostrich, I think of a bird with its head in the sand.
Sand.
Right? Right? Or,
yes.
Or
yes.
If I say Operation Jackass, or if I say Operation Turtle or Operation Lion.
You're slow.
Right? So, you know, okay, it's got to have a meaning for you to name it the way you named it.
Yeah.
Now, what does it mean? I don't know. I don't know if they,
we know it has a lot to do with the white horse, the bearded goat, the cloven hoofs, in that symbolism. You know, the lion's tail, you can see a lot of that.
Right,
but
right.
With the new, right now, when the gay agenda came out, you know, they were pushing the unicorn with the rainbow, right? That represented, you know how they took the rainbow, you know, to mock
God.
Well,
if you watch any of the Marvel Deadpool movies, Deadpool
mm-hmm.
is a Marvel character, he's a Marvel superhero. At the end
mm-hmm.
of each one of his movies, he's very sexual, and there's always
mm-hmm.
a unicorn and rainbows. And, you know, he's pushing
yes.
the gay stuff.
Yep.
And, people can just check out the Deadpool movies and see,
mm-hmm.
that he's
yep.
in every – in fact, when you watch his trailers, he's got a unicorn in his hand.
Yes, exactly.
So,
well, that is a symbolism
know,
today. So was she pushing that, you know, by using that? And it said to her death in Scotland. Well, you know, what was she pushing there? I mean, it's a question because we have both, you know, the New Age beliefs, the sun and the moon beliefs, you know, a lot of that in it. We have a lot of the paganism, but we also have a lot of the gay agenda in it. So I'm not sure what that meant, and I was hoping they would say, but they didn't, you know. But I wanted to show that it is a thing, that all the, you know, in England,
sure.
they were calling it that. In Australia, they were calling it that. That's what the Queen called it, and I wanted to prove that by that audio, or we wouldn't have listened to that dull person that whole time. But, you know, it's a question. It's a question I have.
Sure. If I was to come home and say to my wife, okay, honey, the month of October is going to be Operation Unicorn, she'll say, okay, are you gay? Is that what you're telling me?
Yes, exactly.
So it means something.
Yeah, it means something.
Yeah, okay.
I think it might mean pushing forth the agenda. I don't know. And it could have a lot of her old pagan beliefs. And speaking of pagan beliefs, audio two here, we have the Queen of England is a druid. Druidic abominations called Christianity. That's the audio. It's only 3 minutes. Now, what Jonathan Wayne is saying in this statement, being a Christian and taking an oath with the druids is like an oxymoron, you know, when you think about
right.
it.
Right.
But, Rogue, you can see the actual footage and you can see the actual photos here to verify what the man is saying on the audio. So the audio sound is quite low, so if you want to turn it up, you can. And again, the narrator, his name is Jonathan Wayne, and he writes, you know, his main focus is on early Christians and the anti-Nicene era.
Okay.
You know, where there was no canon and the churches
right.
were contending for the faith delivered to the saints. So if you want to play it through, because it's only
it
3 minutes, we can do that.
Here it is.
Well, most people can tell that the Church of England is a complete abomination. It suits a lot of the so-called Christians of England to tag along with it, because it doesn't compromise them from the world in any way, in that they can chase the things pertaining to the world, such as money, and commit sins, such as fornication, and be drunkards. But as long as they are admitted into the churches on the Sunday, they don't mind. Now, the Druids were the pagans who, when the Romans conquered Britain, the Romans were horrified. And even the Romans were brutal, but they used to put their victims into these big effigies and burn them alive, sacrificing them to the sun, moon, and stars after the pagan wheel of the year. We can see here the former Archbishop of Canterbury, supposed to be the Archbishop of the Church of England. And we can see also the Queen of England are heavily involved in this druidic secret religion. The Queen is in 1946 being initiated into it, and you can see the former Archbishop being initiated in 2002 as these druids. And they, what they do is they carry out the ritual of the sun, moon, and stars, which is the worship of Baal and Ashtaroth that the Israelites fell into, the abomination of the heathens. And they pull out this wine of Babylon being a wing of the fallen Catholic Church of Christ, who are the modern-day Jezebel, who damned Israel to hell with the worship of Baal Peor and slayed the prophets of God. Elijah was a fugitive in the wilderness. So you can see exactly what this druidic religion is rooted in, burning people alive in Wicker Man. And Julius Caesar recorded exactly what they did. Here you can see all the pagan abomination dates that so-called Christian church congregations adhere to, which is all linked into paganism, the worship of the seasons and nature. Spring, summer, autumn, winter, worshipping the dead souls on Halloween, worshipping the rebirth of the sun on December 25th, calling it Christ's birthday. This is wicked evil. This is witchcraft. This is damnation. This is the deep sleep that is upon, the deep sleep of death that is upon a nation.
Yeah, I agree with the man.
Now, did you see the queen?
Yeah, sure. She was in the field with the druids about to be initiated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. So we're going to go through some of the comments he made in there, in that audio. We're going to quote some of the things he said, and feel free to comment as we go here because I wrote them down.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he started out by quoting scripture, and it says the leaders, and this was all typed in, by the way, so you didn't hear him say this, so, but bro,
right.
You saw it. The leaders of this people caused them to err, and they that are led of them destroyed. And he was quoting Isaiah 9:16. So he wrote that they, the druids, they did animal and human sacrifice, believed in a form of reincarnation. Next to nothing is known for certain about the religious practices, except for the ritual of oak and mistletoe, as described by Pliny the Elder. At times, and he had innocence. But maybe he meant incense, I don't know, would also be used, and that they would have been burned alive in a large wooden effigy. Is that what it is?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
An effigy.
So
yeah,
if you think about that, it's like the Burning Man. But go ahead.
Effigy is a pile of wood and hay. You put people mm-hmm. on it, and then you just burn them. Or in the case of the Burning Man, like in the picture, which the,
mm-hmm.
the listener to this program can't see because, mm-hmm. you know, they can only listen.
Yes. That's what's hard with symbolism, isn't it? Because you can see it, but explaining it is something else.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
This is also known as Wicker Man. Now, I want you to think about, you know, the burning they had when we have the Burning Man. Remember that over here?
Right.
We have
right.
that festival, and most of the movie stars go to that. And you have the equivalent of that in Glastonbury. And this year they burned a Wicker Man. And that kind of reminded me of Guy Fawkes. The burning, because every year in England, they put him on a pile of, you know, skids and hay, and they burn him because he tried to burn down Parliament at one time, you know. So they burn him every year. And I didn't realize until I thought about this, it's kind of the same idea. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
He was a Jesuit. He was a Jesuit. So, you know, I don't know. Anyway, Princess Elizabeth at the time, later Queen Elizabeth II, is in a robe of green, is led by an accolade to the arch druid, and his name is spelled CRWYS William,
mm-hmm.
who would initiate her into the mystic circle of bards at the national festival at Mount Ash, and that's Glamorgan, Wales, and that was August 6, 1946. And I always look at the dates, but August 6, if we move on to August 6, 2002, the next Archbishop of Canterbury was inducted as an honorary white druid in an open-air ceremony in Wales. Think about
mm-hmm.
that.
Yeah, white
so
Druid.
Dr.
Yeah.
Rowan, yeah, Dr. Rowan Williams, he dismissed all the suggestions that he was dabbling in a pagan religion. He joined the blue hooded, now that's an important color, Druids, ranked behind a golden harp to be admitted into the Welsh gore shed of bards. Geez, I'm messing up here on speaking back how he put it, because somebody else wrote that. So it's, you know,
yeah,
I'm
yeah.
trying to quote what he wrote, and that's not easy. So according to Caesar, Mr. Wayne said, many young men were trained to be druids. During that time, they had to learn, you know, all the associated lore by heart. He also claimed their main teaching was the souls do not perish, but after death pass from one to another.
Mm-hmm.
They were also concerned with the stars and their movements and the size of the cosmos and the earth, the world of nature, and the powers of deities, indicating they were involved with not so much, you know, the common aspects of religion as theology and cosmology, but also astronomy. They were into astronomy, you know, and the stars, studying the stars.
Right.
They took it to a whole new level, you know. So Caesar wrote a lot about them, and I didn't realize that. Caesar also held that they were administrators during rituals of human sacrifice for which criminals were usually used. So they used criminals during the time for the sacrifices. And that method was through burning in a wicker man. So, isn't that amazing? So why are we resurrecting this wicker man thing? You know? It makes you wonder, doesn't it?
Yep.
Doesn't it make you wonder? So
yep,
the
absolutely.
Pagan holidays, I'm not giving the names, but kind of the modern things here, was, of course, Halloween. That's a pagan one. And that ran their pagan holidays from October 31st to November 1st. April 30th through May 1st was the Gaelic polytheism. So you want to explain what polytheism is?
Yeah, polytheism is the worship of many gods.
Yep.
That's, you know.
Yep.
And
he had on there, see also Gaelic death and the ancestors. And it's funny because I know a group that sings about the ancestors. Okay, the Yuletide was December 21st or 22nd. And then they have the 21st of June in dramatic paganism, winter solstice and the rebirth of the sun. So we have two conflicting dates here. And that's what I talked about last week. You're dealing with the Gaelic and you're dealing with the German, you see, and the different rituals that they have. So there's two different dates for the December and June. So in February 1st or 2nd, they have Candlemas. August 1st, Gaelic polytheism, also the Gaels. The first sign of spring, March 21st, 22nd, or September. There you have two dates again. The German part of the paganism. That's the equinox or the beginning of spring. May or May Day, April 30th to May 1st, October 31st to November 1st. That's the Gaelic. That's the flowering of spring. June 21st or 22nd, possibly Neolithic summer solstice. Now here's where you have the differences again on the December and the June. So to me, it depends on if you're German, a German part of it, they celebrate one day, and Gaelic another. I don't know, you know, because I can certainly say the age of Aquarius was not in talk about in Druid times. That was not heard of, that title, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we're going back to the beginning of this stuff, and then we end up at the Age of Aquarius, ends up where we get with Alice Bailey. She coined the term the New Age, you know?
Mm-hmm.
She's the one that coined those terms. So when you're talking about the Age of Aquarius here, Druids didn't know anything about the name of the Age of Aquarius. But there was two different groups here. There was the German and the Gaelic that were Druids, I guess, that had different varying opinions on their holidays. I don't know. Do I care? No. You know, they had another holiday. We're just talking about with he had written down there, Mr. Wayne.
Right, right.
So another holiday, the 31st of July or August 1st. You see that they're very, one group and another.
Mm-hmm.
And get this, February 1st was first fruit. So they had a first fruit. Isn't it crazy?
Crazy.
Another one was September 21st and 22nd. March, no historical pagan equivalent. So we keep in mind that God, you know, in the Hebrews, they had years, didn't they? They go by years.
Sure.
The Hebrews. So,
this is
so
amazing.
You know, just, yeah. So it's, you know, so it's clear that you have the German or Germanic and the
mm-hmm.
Gaelic paganism here.
Right.
And it's not clear cut as it seems when you're dealing with different forms of paganism. You know, it's just not clear cut. And lastly, he quoted the scripture of Revelation 18:4, and they heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, and be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. So, you know, she was involved in initiation with the Druids. And to say he feels that the Church of England had an association with that. And he calls it a wing of the Catholic Church. What say you? I want your opinion on this.
Well, again, Anglicanism or the Anglican Church was started because in the 5th century,
mm-hmm.
the Pope at the time sent a bishop called Augustine. Now, it's not the Augustine, the theologian.
Yes.
This is known as the Augustine of London. So he
mm-hmm.
sent Augustine of London, he sent this monk,
mm-hmm.
monk/missionary to London. And when
correct.
He established the Roman Catholic Church in England,
mm-hmm.
the Pope made him the first Archbishop of Canterbury.
Yes.
And as a result of that, the Roman Catholic Church was in England, and
mm-hmm.
it became known as the Anglican part of the
mm-hmm.
Roman Catholic Church, the English part of the Roman Catholic Church. Now, when Henry VIII wanted the Pope to give him a divorce, and the Pope said no, because Henry VIII wanted to marry another chick, he said, bye-bye, Pope. And he said, I'm going to be the head of the church. Thus, I'm going to give
correct.
Myself a certificate of divorce, since I'm the head of the church.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And this is why when you read the English Constitution, or you read the Constitution of the Anglican Church, it says that the sovereign head of the Anglican Church is the Queen or King of England. It's not
yep.
Jesus.
And Charles I did that. Yeah, Charles I did that and was beheaded, remember? But go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. So
go ahead.
So there you have it. So
yep.
everybody knows that the Anglican Church is the Roman Catholic Church's first ugly daughter, because, you know, she's
mm-hmm.
the mother of harlots. So the
correct.
Anglican Church has the first ugly daughter, and that's the Church of England.
And I can honestly say, when you go back to Henry VIII, and the reason why he dumped the Pope to marry Anne Boleyn, right? I think it was Anne Boleyn. He was married so many times. The one he beheaded. But anyway, he wanted to marry her, and he had to change, you know, shed the Roman, you know, go against the Pope to do that, right? That's how
right.
he created the Church of England. Okay. And I find it odd because in the Church of England, there's no such thing as getting a divorce. I mean, there wasn't. You just couldn't be a monarch. You couldn't do anything if you got a divorce. You couldn't even, supposedly, you couldn't attend the Church of England at all. But when Charles wanted to divorce Diana, the Queen did the same thing as Henry VIII. The Queen
mm-hmm.
changed the
granted
rules
it.
Of the Church
she
of England.
Yes, yeah, she granted it.
Yeah. She granted the divorce, but not only that, he is now the head of the Church of England.
Right. And he's divorced.
So,
but nobody else can get yep. divorced.
Exactly.
Yeah. See? Yeah. The rules,
so
the rules don't apply
the rules.
To them. Yeah, the,
yes,
the rules
exactly.
don't apply to them. They apply to you and me, but they don't apply
yeah.
to them.
So what she did is she accommodated the Church of England and its bylaws or whatever they have. Going back to, she did the same thing Henry VIII did, basically, for Charles and how Charles became the head. Remember, the uncle couldn't serve it as king. The
mm-hmm.
uncle, when he went with Mrs. Simpson, you know, he could
right.
not serve as king because of his
sure.
relationship with the American woman.
Mm-hmm.
And so that passed down to Elizabeth's father.
Mm-hmm.
He got it. So
right.
that's how he got it. But boy, when it came to Charles, she bent the rules and, you know, people had to quit the Church of England before Charles. You know, there were people who were
right,
divorced.
Right.
And it's a good thing they quit the Church of England. You know, I'm not, you know, people that were involved in it is probably a good thing. But what I'm saying is that, you know, she bent all these rules for him. He is now the head. He's divorced. He remarried Camilla. She's divorced, married him, and he's at the Church of England. So that shows you how legit that church is. And, you know,
right.
because they're just bending rules. They just make the rules as they go with that.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. In Audio 3, we have a short clip here. This is 3:30. The film shows Queen Elizabeth giving Nazi salutes as a child. And this was, let's see, this was CBS Morning News. And it was uploaded, believe it or not, this was uploaded 7 years ago. And the thing with symbolism is I can't explain it to you, but Ro can see it. So
right.
you'll be able to see it. So we'll talk after this is over.
Okay, here it is.
This morning, Buckingham Palace wants to know who leaked a video from Queen Elizabeth's family archive. The Sun newspaper obtained a 70-second black and white video showing the Queen as a child. It apparently shows her performing a Nazi salute. Charlie Daggett is outside Buckingham Palace in London with how the palace may have helped the video get out. Charlie, good morning.
Good morning to you. Palace officials have confirmed to us this morning that an internal investigation is underway to determine the source of the leak, where that family footage came from, and just how it ended up in the hands of the Sun newspaper. It's a grainy home movie shot in 1933. Playing up for the camera, a young Queen Elizabeth is seen apparently raising a Nazi salute alongside her mother and younger sister dancing around. Her uncle, the future King Edward VIII, does the same. Whether an innocent gesture done in jest, the palace is said to be scrambling to figure out how the film got out, says royal correspondent Roy Anika.
There's been a huge level of concern as to how the material got out, the fact that they actually don't know how it's got out. You know, unknown things like that to do with the royal family and archives rattle royal aides, and they rattle members of the royal family too.
However, part of that clip had already been made public, apparently showing the Queen and her sister just moments after that incident, part of an exhibition by Buckingham Palace last year, which has lent to claims the palace itself may be partly to blame for inadvertently releasing the footage to documentary makers. The Sun newspaper won't say where they got it, but it was obtained in a legitimate fashion and published with the public interest in mind, says managing editor Stig Abel.
The fact remains that in 1933, led by a man who was to become Edward VIII, the British royal family were doing Nazi salutes to a video. That seemed very immediately to us to be a matter of great cultural, historical, and general interest.
The historical interest, the paper claims, is that it reveals King Edward's implicit support for the Nazis from early on. Long accused of being a Nazi sympathizer, Edward visited Hitler in 1937 after giving up his crown to marry U.S. divorcee Wallis Simpson. The Queen was only about 6 years old when the film was shot at the private residence of Balmoral, unaware of what that Nazi salute would come to symbolize. Adolf Hitler was then an aspiring politician, already a German chancellor and the head of the Nazi Party, but before he became the Führer of the Third Reich, long before the horrors of World War II and the atrocities of Nazi Germany. And as much as that footage came as a surprise, it's not likely to affect the public image of the Queen herself.
It's not going to damage the monarchy in the eyes of the British public, and I think, you know, across the board people understand that it's a sensational story, but it does, I don't think it really has any impact or meaning as to how we view the monarchy.
Now, the Royal Archives are not open to the public. Some researchers are invited to access them, but only with palace approval. But now some historians are saying the royals should open up and reveal more of what's inside. Nora?
Charlie Daggett at Buckingham Palace. Thank you.
Something tells me they'll get to the bottom of that, but she's a little girl at the time, clearly imitating her uncle.
Right.
Probably.
Which
was
embarrassing.
Very embarrassing.
So, I mean, there's probably family footage of me doing Hail Hitler. because when I was a little kid, we used to play army. When I was a kid, I'm 63. When I was a kid, the big thing were Westerns and war movies.
Mm-hmm.
Those
right.
are two big things, right? And I remember right. having a G.I. Joe, and there were Nazis. And so when I went outside to play, everybody could not be an American soldier. We had to take turns. Okay, who's the Nazis today? Right?
Yeah.
And right? So you had Nazis on one side, and it's the same thing. Some days some of us were U.S. soldiers, and the next day some of us were Japs, you know, the Japanese, right?
Right?
And
mm-hmm.
Because you know if you're gonna play war, you gotta have an opponent. I mean, that's how you play.
Yeah.
Right? So
yeah.
How many times did I do Ha-Hila? Right? And we used to watch
yeah.
Hogan's Heroes. We used to, you know, Hogan's Heroes is a comedy, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there could be some movies out there, The Wolf Tracker, you know? And it's not that I'm a skinhead or anything. It's just that this is what you did as a kid. Now, having said that, correct me if I'm wrong. Her husband was German, right? The Queen's husband was German?
Yep. Okay.
So he was a German prince, if I'm not mistaken, or of German aristocracy.
Mountbatten. And she couldn't take the name as Queen of England. She couldn't take the name Mountbatten because of the tensions with Germany, you know.
Right.
Now, they keep reporting. Now, this is how they do this. Yeah, there's a lot of German in the royals. They say, now this is how they shove it under the rug. They say, well, it's an English branch of the German princely Battenberg family.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, they're as German as it gets, you know. But the
sure.
fact that her uncle
hung around with Hitler, that you see what I'm saying? He was,
right.
Edward was the one who was supposed to be king.
Right.
So, you know.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You
yeah.
know.
Like
when
I
you
said,
have
I mean,
unicorns,
I don't.
Druids, and
yeah.
Nazi signals. You know?
Sure. Sure.
Things start to add up.
Absolutely.
Terrible.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know.
So.
So these are
yeah,
the people
and, you know,
they're worshiping, and
again,
they forgive her.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
I think they forgive her because she was a child. Now, if she was a teenager or a young adult, it would have been a different story. Then you know,
like
you know, she would. Yeah, right. She would have to come out and make an apology or give a reason or blah, you know, whatever. But
mm-hmm.
I do know
that's
that
got Harry
was,
in trouble. Do you
yeah,
know
share that?
That
with the
Harry?
Share that with the people.
Well, Harry got in trouble because he went to a Halloween party dressed as a Nazi. The whole country was in an uproar.
Right. Right.
Now, that was, you know, Harry.
Sure. The grandson.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I mean. You know, so now, Harry, you have to hold him responsible because he wasn't a little kid. He was a man.
Right. Right.
That's, you
yeah.
know, that's the difference there. Now, I'm not saying she wasn't a closet Nazi. I'm not saying
yeah.
she was, I'm not saying she wasn't. Because,
right.
again, you know, her husband, I'm pretty sure
yeah.
her husband spoke fluid German.
Well, he said he's reportedly involved or been Greek, you know. Yeah, there's so much to this. You could do a whole show on that.
Right.
You
right.
know, with the background of these people. I mean, it's
mm-hmm.
crazy. It is really
yeah.
crazy when you dig into it. You can't even go there. They're a part of everything, you know.
Sure.
Because you remember,
sure.
they marry like this for country. What do they do this for? It's for, they marry each other, you know. They're cousins.
Yeah, to maintain the pure line and also to maintain peace among the nations, that they don't fight one another.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you're attacking my cousin, and she's the queen over there. You can't attack her nation.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, even today, they're related. All these people are related in these different countries. And
right.
this becomes about bloodlines, which should
sure.
make you nervous about what they're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
They want royal bloodlines. So,
mm-hmm.
okay, now if you've been watching, we have time for another audio in here. If you've been watching the coverage, you'll notice the colors, or you should have by now, notice that the guards, most all of the colors in there that you'll see, and even the clergy and all that, is black, red, and white. You'll see it
right.
everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
All you have to do is watch it. Those are Masonic colors. By the way, they wear
okay.
the red, the black, and the white. So there's a picture out there that I couldn't find at the moment, but I didn't have time to look all the way through, of the Queen in her Masonic outfit, okay, with
mm-hmm.
a little bib in front.
Right.
So,
right.
And there's also a video out there of her visiting a girls' Masonic school years ago.
Wow.
So, you know, to say it's out there. I played it the other day, but, you know,
mm-hmm.
it's all video. You can't see.
Mm-hmm.
There's no words on it, so there's no reason to play it. So
right.
The guards, are they Masons? Not necessarily, but the colors are that she puts them in. So we're going to hear from the Freemasons themselves, and this was only uploaded last week. The Freemasons and the Royal Family, Provincial Grand Lodge of Antrim. The speaker is John Hawkins, and this is Birdsong Communications. So we'll hear from the Masons. And, you know, they normally come out after somebody dies and
mm-hmm.
admits who was.
Right.
When they're alive, they don't talk about them being
affiliated with the Masons, although they're changing, you know, now. But
right, right.
If you want to play that, it's only 4 minutes, so.
Here it is.
Today in Belfast, I've been invited to deliver the Prestonian Lecture for 2022, the subject of which is the Royal Family and Freemasonry. Back last year, I was invited by the Grand Lodge of England to consider being the Prestonian Lecturer for this year. The Prestonian Lecturer is appointed annually by the United Grand Lodge of England. It's the only formal lectureship. And the person appointed as the lecturer chooses a topic on which he delivers a lecture, usually formally on three occasions and informally perhaps on a dozen or 20 more occasions, on a subject of his choice. And the choice of the lecture that I made for this year was the Royal Family and Freemasonry, because it's the 70th anniversary of the accession to the throne of Queen Elizabeth II, who is principal patron of the Royal Charities, and there are also some other important Masonic anniversaries this year. I had no idea of the extent of the Royal Family's connection with Freemasonry in England, and indeed in Scotland and Ireland. Over the course of the period since 1737, there have been about 35, 36 members of the British Royal Family who have been Freemasons, which astounded me. I had no idea there were as many as that. And in addition to those, female members of the Royal Family, who of course are not Freemasons, have nonetheless been very active supporters of the Masonic charities. Well, behind me is Albert Edward, Prince of Wales, and he was Grand Master of the United Grand Lodge of England from the 1870s until he ascended the throne as King Edward VII in 1901 on the death of his mother, Queen Victoria. And he came to Ireland on a number of occasions and attended the Grand Lodge at Molesworth Street in Dublin, and was actually appointed an honorary past Grand Master of the Grand Lodge of Ireland. Of his grandchildren, several were Masons, including King George VI, King Edward VIII, and the Duke of Kent, who is the father of the current Duke of Kent. And so of those, three of his four children were important Freemasons, and indeed all provincial Grand Masters in England. And of those, King Edward VIII, when he was the Prince of Wales, actually became an honorary senior Grand Warden of the Grand Lodge of Ireland. Until recently, there were three members of the Royal Family who were Freemasons. The one who most recently passed away was His Late Royal Highness, the Duke of Edinburgh, Prince Philip. He was a member of the Navy Lodge. Today, we have two members of the Royal Family, the Duke of Kent, who has just celebrated 55 years as Grand Master of the United Grand Lodge of England, and his younger brother, Prince Michael of Kent, who has just celebrated 40 years as Grand Master of the Grand Lodge of Mark Master Masons in England. In England, the Mark being a separate organization to the craft. I've enjoyed it very much so far. People are so friendly. But one of the advantages of traveling is you always learn things. So I've learned a lot today about the Irish Freemasonry. And for example, I had no idea until yesterday when Bob mentioned it, that so many Irish lodges are named after members of the British Royal Family, including Queen Victoria, indeed Albert Edward, the Duke of Connaught, and various other members of the Royal Family. So I've got more research to do when I get home.
I find it a very interesting presentation. The knowledge that John Hawkins has on Masonry back to the 1700s is unbelievable. And the amount of research that he has done is certainly unbelievable, and certainly there was a lot of the situations back in the 1700s, 1800s, 1900s, which I was not aware of. I wouldn't be a great historian myself, but I certainly found today's presentation extremely interesting right up to the present day for your Prince Michael of Kent, who is the Grand Master of the United Grand Lodge of England.
Yeah, they're all neck deep in that stuff.
They really are. And you notice he mentioned the 70th anniversary to the succession of the throne, you know?
Sure.
Again, we go with that. So he says, I wasn't sure if he said prince or princess of the patron of the royal charities. That's what they do. That's what royalty does. They serve royal charities. So we now know that all these charities that they promote, that's their job. They go around speaking at charities. That's their job, right?
Right.
Those charities are Masonic. And they
mm-hmm.
said, and other Masonic anniversaries this year, they're heavily involved in that. He said 35, 36 members. I say more. I can take them back to the Jacobites, okay?
Right.
I can go back to Charles, you know, Bonnie Prince Charles. I can take them right back to there. So you notice King Edward was a grand master. We're talking
mm-hmm.
about high ranking. That was Queen Victoria's son. Then you have King George VI, the one that gave up, you know, the crown for Mrs. Simpson. You have King Edward VIII. That's Elizabeth's dad. He was a grandmaster. You have
mm-hmm.
the Duke of Edinburgh. That was her husband. That was Prince Philip.
Right.
That was the Queen's dad. He's also a high-ranking Mason. Then you have the Duke of Kent, 55 years. You have Michael Kent, which is, you know, heir to the Duke. That's 40 years. You know, I mean, what can you say about that? What can we say? We have unicorns, we have druids, we have Nazis, we have Freemasons. I mean, so that's why we're talking about paganism. This is all
mm-hmm.
pagan stuff that's involved around the throne, you know, around
yeah.
this institution and the Church of England, you know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Well, to me, I mean, I've known this kind of stuff, but putting it out there, you're kind of like, well, do I do that? Yeah, I need to do that. I really need to, because people are idolizing her. And they're saying, boy, she's looking down from heaven, and I'm sure she's pleased. Is she really? Can we ask that question? You know.
Yeah. You know, the
you
other
know.
Here's the other thing. The question, you know, that we should be asking, where is this poor woman today? Is she in heaven or is she in hell?
Correct.
You know, I mean, that's why we do these shows, you know. This
yes.
poor woman is so engaged, so involved in paganism, so involved in these secret societies.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And
so worshiped.
And you look at her son, and you look at the queen consort, and you look at the William and his wife and their three kids, and you look at
mm-hmm.
the whole thing and you say, you know, what a sham.
Yeah.
What a sham.
An expensive one.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, yeah, a mess, a complete mess.
It is.
And again.
And they're worshipped,
you know,
they have no idea. They get away with all these things. And it's just shoved under the rug, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
I think
Absolutely.
It's sad. I think it's sad. I think it's time that people really, you know, this idolatry that, you know, and if you wait 3 miles, you know, in a line to see a casket, that's idolatry. You know what I'm saying?
I wouldn't wait three minutes on the television.
Right.
For, you know.
Yeah, we haven't watched all of it. We've
yeah,
only seen portions of it.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean.
I didn't see
I
the guy faint.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. It's amazing.
Yeah.
I see here you have a Hugo Talks. You want to put them on? To see if he says
that's 16
something?
Minutes. We'll do him next week.
Okay.
We'll do him next week because it's 16. That's 16 minutes. And one of the questions he does in that is he lets you know what the people really think. You know?
Mm-hmm.
What are the
sure.
people? Because what you're seeing on TV is not exactly how the people feel.
Right.
You know, you notice, I told my husband, I said, you know, all those people will be out celebrating in pubs He said, absolutely. You know? He said, absolutely
sure.
They will. And I said, yeah, they'll be out drinking, having a good time, you know, whatever. Not that I would condone any of that. I don't. But I'm just saying, in reality, that's what they'll be doing, you know. So he does an audio that says what the public really thinks. And I think I wasn't sure if we would get to it because I said there's so much to this. There was a lot to go through, and I'm sorry I stumbled through a lot of that guy's writing because you're figuring out dates that are written backwards, you know what I'm saying, from the United States. And I'm accustomed to that normally, but their dates with these pagan religions, it's not just a day sometimes. It's two or three days. They run their holidays. You know,
right,
in paganism,
right.
It's a certain period of time that they use with it. So getting through all that was amazing. But, you know, like I'm saying, don't idolize. I think we're entering into a time where people really idolize. And we saw that with Trump, you know. You know, they idolize people. And I don't think that will happen with Charles as much as it did with the Queen. I mean, because the people really are against him. Now, you saw the audio or the video I sent you about someone yelling at Andrew and what happened to him.
Right.
They, you know, they called him names for being in with Epstein or whatever it is, and they pulled him right out of the crowd. I mean, they were not gentle. And all he did is say what he felt.
Right,
so
right.
You can't do that, you know,
sure.
Over there. So what happened to free speech, you know?
Right.
I don't know.
Let me play this real quick here.
Okay.
Police of Scotland later confirmed that they arrested a 22-year-old man in connection with a breach of peace of the Royal Mile around 2:50 on Monday, the 22nd, for calling
that was
this
Scotland.
Guy. What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought it was England there for a minute. It was Scotland.
Some people say, hey, you know, it was bad timing for you to come out and talk like that.
Might have been. It was for him.
Yeah, because they smacked him around. They grabbed him. They threw him to the ground. They kicked him. They smacked him in the face. You know,
Yeah.
And then a lady said, leave him alone. You know? And so.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's it, you know.
Right on the Royal Mile. When we were over last time, we spent a lot of time on that Royal Mile. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
I can imagine.
I love that castle. I love Edinburgh
imagine.
Castle. I really do. It's beautiful. So it's a big climb. We were wondering. Now, that's the thing that my husband was talking about. You know, you're watching Charles walk when they were walking behind the casket, and that's what they do at funerals over there. But he was walking the Royal Mile. That is uphill. Going up there. I said, I wonder if he's going to make it. You know?
Sure.
Honestly. My husband said he's going to pass out at any time. Because it is an incline. And it's, you know, I mean, it'll take your breath trying to walk up it.
Wow.
Really steep. And you're going up there. And we're watching. And I said, you know, it doesn't look like he's going to make it, because I personally don't think that he's that healthy.
Right.
I really don't.
Sure.
I think he has some problems. I noted his face is really red with the lines in it, like
mm-hmm.
he does a lot, you know, we know he drinks a lot of alcohol.
Sure.
You know, and that's signs of drinking a lot of alcohol. We know that.
Mm-hmm.
If you notice,
right.
his hands are always swollen.
Yeah.
You know, I think he has some problems. So.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
he's
well,
quite grumpy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, how long is this circus going to go on for? How much longer?
Well,
until
I think
Monday,
right?
Yeah.
I think
wow.
Monday, they
wow.
said. You know, over there, they don't have funerals like here, like three-day things. When my mother-in-law died and we had to fly back over there, we were 7 days before we could get a flight because it was in the summer that we could get a flight going straight in, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And they said, that's fine. The funeral home said, that's fine. You know, she'll still be here after 7 days. So they waited for us to get there, and we had the funeral the next day. So it was
wow.
like 8 days after
wow.
she died before we were able to get in there, you know, to get back there. So we
amazing.
And we had enough time to get in, go into the funeral home, see her, which is totally different over there, but we saw her
mm-hmm.
in the funeral, well, where they keep people. It's like a
mm-hmm.
storage unit.
Yeah.
You know, and before the funeral, the next day we had the funeral. And we had to stay up because our bags went to somewhere else. So we had to wait till midnight to drive to a different part of the area to get our bags at 11:30,
wow.
12 o'clock at night the night before. It was, you know, kind
yeah,
of a
yeah.
disaster. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's the way it is.
Yep, yep. Well,
so,
great show as always. And
oh, thank you.
We know that the queen was involved with Satan, and that, you know
yeah.
that's just putting it the American way, you know, yeah. and
it's not about the money, folks. It's not about money. It doesn't matter how much money you have at the end
right.
of the day, does it?
That's right. That's
you know.
Right. So great show, and you have the last
yep.
word.
Well, I would say you could do some homework. I would say that you could start looking for the black, white, and red. And I'm not talking about a newspaper joke, red all over. But look for, you know, outfits that are black, white, and red with a funeral. And you can also look for the black and white floors, check floors. Also, stars, a star. And if you do that, you'll see a few things, and you'll know it's Masonic. So have a great day. We'll see you next week. Bye.